Urvam bahu kari kodhahi sunna sarvaloka. Urva bahi kari kohari sunna sarvaloka. Namasutta gahi pada kante e sloka. Urva bahu kari kohari sunna sarvaloka. Namasutta ganti pura kate e sloka.
Namasutta ganti pura kate e sloka.
Udva bahi kara kahori suna sarva loka.
Udva bahu kari kahori suna sarva loka.
Namasutta ganti para kate e sloka. Udva bahu, raising my hands, kari, doing so, kahori, I'm sorry, kahon, I declare, suna, please hear, sarvaloka, all persons, nama, of the holy name, Sutre, on the thread, Ganti, stringing, Para, get it, Kante, on the neck, A, this, Sloka, verse. So this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami referring to the previous verse. He says, raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Who knows what verse he's referring to? Trinadapi sunichena tayor iva suhishnuna amaninam amanadena kirtani asadarihi. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning one may commit many offenses, which are called Namabhas and Namaparad. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Dayor Iva Sahishnuna. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and the tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung around his neck. So, Krishna, in the spiritual world, and when he brings his pastimes to the material world, he performs his leelas with his internal associates. And the Lord has different associates according to different relationships with him. Ultimately, the only relationship is pure love. But that pure love is manifested in different aspects. And Krishna reciprocates with people in dasya ras through servitor, and with sakya ras, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. So in the pastimes of conjugal love, there are many different wonderful things they do to express these loving relationships. These are all on the transcendental platform. Although they may look ordinary, they are not ordinary because they are actually pure loving relationships. And the principle is that everyone is trying to please the other person. No one has any personal motivation, although it looks like that. So sometimes when they exchange these loving relationships, they play games. So one of the games that they like to play, which is a game that we also play sometimes when we're kids, is called hide and seek. I'm sure you played that game. Everybody used to play. I remember that. Of all the games that I played when I was a kid, that's the only one I can remember. That one. So Krishna was there, and all the gopis, all the principal gopis, and then Radharani was obviously there. So Radharani was the person who had to find everyone after they all found different hiding places. So all the gopis hid, and Krishna, you know, he's the best of hiding. He's the best in anything, so he really hid. So now Radharani, it's time for her to find. So she goes looking everywhere. The problem was with the gopis, because they have so much love for Radharani, and just by her presence, they cannot somehow remain quiet. So when she gets near, looking for the gopis, they immediately starts to express some feeling, and then they give themselves away. They either laugh, or they start to swoon or something, because Radharani's love is so powerful that even the gopis express their love in association with Radharani. So she catches all the gopis. But now she has to find Krishna. Not easy. So she's looking everywhere and she can't find him. And he's also playing his own little game while she's playing the game, because every time she gets close, he changes positions. So he keeps hiding. So she's thinking, where's this rascal? Can't find him anywhere. So, you know, this is a serious game. I mean, they play to win. So she's looking everywhere. Finally, Krishna decides to go really far away into the mountains, outside of the groves. So she can't find him anyway. So she decides to use a weapon of attraction. So very sweetly, and of course, everything she does is with pure bhakti, she starts to sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And she's singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when Krishna hears it, he freezes. He can't move. He's stuck. Stunned. He's like a statue. So now, he's nowhere. He can't escape when she comes close. So now she's looking and she finds him. And she says, I caught you. And he says, you cheated. And she says, no, you're just a bad loser. So what caught Krishna was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sung sweetly. So even Krishna can't hide from that. So here's a little thing by Srila Prabhupada. Let's see if it works. I hope it's the right thing.
Priti purvaka, with love, not as happy. Here is a duty, chanting of Hare Krishna. I like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Not like with priti, with love, chant every name, Hare Krishna. And here is Krishna, here is Radha. That kind of chant. Quality. Not like. Pretty. तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीति विदत् प्रीति इज इक्वल दैट इज द एसेंशियल क्वालिटी पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयं जोमी भक्त्या प्रगच्छति रियल थिंग इज भक्ति कृष्णा इज नॉट हंग्री दैट इज गिविंग सम गुड फूड एंड he'll eat it. Never mind in which way he can get. Here is puri halwa. Krishna must eat. Krishna is not hungry for your puri halwa. But if there is bhakti, if there is love, then he eats. Tadhanga snan. Then I eat. If there is bhakti, love, Krishna, what can I do for you? I am so teeny, you are so great. Still, I have tried to do something, if you can.
Prabhupada was mimicking how we chant, huh? Did you hear that? He said, not like that. So, in this verse, he also makes that point that one should chant very clearly, but with love, when that's the point he was making. So, although we speak about different things about in our chanting, it's bhakti that makes the difference, and bhakti is what attracts Krishna. So, we can use so many techniques and so many programs for doing things, but you might say, well, I have no love. What do you do? You can't just somehow turn on the love button and then expect it to flow. Well, one has to practice that mood of understanding that this is our eternal relationship with Krishna. And love is manifested in different ways. One, the love is that one wants to please Krishna by pleasing Krishna's representative, because that love is shown to Krishna through the execution of one's this devotion to the spiritual master. So in that way, that is also an expression of one's love. When one accepts whatever is necessary for execution of devotional service, according to the guidance of the spiritual master, even if it's difficult, even if it's impossible. It's never impossible, but it may also be difficult. And that is an expression of one's love. Also, in the mood of chanting, one should somehow or other realize that I can't chant. I think we mentioned this all through the weekend, that it's only by the grace of the Lord that I can chant. So that petitioning of the Lord is an expression of one's bhakti also, that I'm helpless. And by the grace of the great souls, the acharyas, who are perfect in the practice of Krishna consciousness, then somehow or other I can also get some mercy. So we practice chanting, but we can have the Prabhupada wants to make the point here in this lecture was in Mayapur 1973, Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, that it's love that attracts Krishna. It's bhakti. So that's shown in different ways, and one of the ways is when we work together in a cooperative way with the other devotees, that's also our expression of love for Krishna. If we become independent and we think we have our own ways of doing things that is distinct from the general body, then we create a type of mentality that is different. And that mentality is not very pleasing. So cooperation is an expression of love. So love means cooperation. Love means obedience. These are the two things in our day-to-day life. And then when we chant or when we offer our, whatever we're offering, it should be that my offering is really nothing. But still, this is all I had. Because Prabhupada, he made that point that I'm so small, Krishna, but you're so great. Here, please accept this little offering. What do I have to offer to you? you know, well, sometimes we become expert at a particular activity, and then that expertise seems to, we think we somehow or other have something to offer. But Prabhupada used to say that in the spiritual world, everyone is serving Krishna with pure love and excellence in everything they do. So he's not so much impressed by whatever we do. It's happening all around him all the time. But he accepts the love like that. Just like there was one girl who was cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and she had such a strong desire to please Prabhupada by her cooking. And Prabhupada would always like chapatis hot. So, in other words, he would always call for the chapati right off the plate, and right off the stove, and then they would bring it to him. He didn't like, if it was like 10 seconds later, it was too cool. So this girl was cooking chapatis, and she knew that Prabhupada wanted hot chapatis. And so they were running it from the kitchen to where Prabhupada was taking it. In her enthusiasm to make nice chapatis for Prabhupada, she was burning the chapatis. The grill was too hot and was cutting pieces of holes in the chapatis with black marks around it. And Prabhupada was taking the chapatis and eating them with great relish one after another. Later on, Prabhupada explained that her bhakti was just that she wanted to please Prabhupada. So Prabhupada accepted, even though the offering wasn't up to standard. Now we have the example of Shabari and Ramlila. She was actually a great personality, and she had a guru. And the guru had many disciples, and she was also one. She was practically, I think, the only female disciple. And so at one point, her guru gave instructions that Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will come. And we want you to stay here and wait for him and greet him and give him nice fruits when he comes. But me and all the disciples are going back to Godhead now. But you have to stay, because this is important service. So she happily accepted the service, and they all went back to Godhead. Now the fruits that she had to give were a certain type of berries that came in two ways. The one, they were either sour or sweet. But no one could tell from the outside which one was sour and which one was sweet. So what she would do, she never wanted to offer the sour ones to the Lord. So she would taste it first and then put it aside, waiting for the Lord to come. And then when if it was sour, she would reject those. So she would taste them. And then when Ram came, actually, she handed him all the ones she had already tasted. And they were actually the sweet ones. And Ram accepted every one, even though we don't usually do that. We don't ever do that. Taste it and then give it to Krishna. But Ram was so happy, and he actually blessed her with love of God. Why? Because it was all bhakti. She didn't know the rules and regulations. She just had bhakti. So pure bhakti seems to transcend everything. So that bhakti is there, but it has to be awakened through the process of practicing that bhakti. So when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we have to somehow or other pray to the Lord that we can offer this chanting to you. This morning my chanting was, I think, the worst ever. Because I was so tired from the weekend. So it was a great struggle. But still, I think Krishna just left when I started. I was just so tired. But anyway, I was thinking, I hope I don't ever have a day like this again. So I thought I'd mention this particular verse here. Because there's also that one point of distinction. When we're chanting really fast in order to get the beat the clock japa, We have a tendency to push the letters together and the pronunciation. So Prabhupada makes a point in the Shastras that one should clearly and distinctly chant the holy names of the Lord. And that's very important in our chanting. To hear nicely, because hearing is the principle, and when pronunciation is clear, hearing becomes increased. If our pronunciation is not clear, it also impairs on the quality of our hearing. Because you're hearing something different or something that it sounds like it, but it's not clear. So therefore clear pronunciation. One can chant fast or slow, that's accordingly, but it should always be clear. That's the thing. If it's clear. You hear Prabhupada chanting on his, he's always chanting. When he gives his instructions in the japa tape, he chants very slowly and methodically, very clearly. And then when he does the regular, there's two japa tapes. There's the one, it's called practice japa, and the other one is the one he's doing with the devotees. The one he's doing with the devotees, he starts out very slowly and clearly, and then gradually, as the tape goes on, and the speed is increasing like that. So speed will increase according to the quality of our hearing. According to the quality of our hearing like that. So one should chant in that mood, and one should chant with bhakti. That means one can access the nature of love and connect that. Sometimes we hear in the kirtans when Madhava is singing, he says, chant from the heart. He says that a lot in his kirtans and other devotees also. So you can do that. You connect your voice to your heart, or you connect the heart to the voice, actually, the other way around. And try to express from that feeling, because where the heart is where the soul exists. The soul exists in the body, on the heart. So that's where you are. If you wonder where you are, you're not here. That's not you. So you're there you are in the heart region, Prabhupada says, sitting on the heart. So there's the soul is in the body in that location. So bringing that pure, you know, love from that area means bringing it from the area of the heart and connecting it with the voice. And I have to practice that, like that. So getting it done, being in a hurry, or as we saw, various other forms of distracted japa, all these things prevent us from chanting with priti, as Prabhupada said, with priti, with bhakti. Okay. Any questions or comments? Does anyone ever feel like you want to give up your job? It's too hard. Did you ever have that in your life? Huh? Today. Okay. So we have a debut. But sometimes we've even seen that devotees want to give up their japa. Sachinandana Maharaj tells this story where one bhakta, he's been chanting for a long time and he can't taste anything. And so he decides to give it up. But then before he decides to give it up, before he actually gives it up, he goes to his guru and says, Guru Maharaj, I know I'm trying to follow your instructions and with doing everything, but I can't get anything from this chanting. I don't see any benefit in it. I don't feel any different. It's just taking up time. I decided to give it up. The guru is somewhat thoughtful. And so he says, all right, but before you do that, I want to give you a little service to do. So do this service, and then you can decide afterwards. So he says, all right, Guru Maharaj. So the guru says, nearby there's a lake. Near that lake there's a crane, and he's standing there. You go over as close as you can, and you say to the crane, Hare Krishna. So he goes over, he gets close to his can without scaring the crane, and he says, Hare Krishna. And the crane falls over and dies. You heard this story, right? No, you never heard this story. And so he goes back and he tells his Guru Maharaj what happened. He's kind of shocked. Guru Maharaj says, don't worry about it. There's a calf. It was just born to a cow out in the Goshala. So go to the Goshala and you'll see this little calf, this baby calf who's just born. Go over near to the calf and say, Hare Krishna. So, dutifully, he goes over there, gets near the calf, says, Hare Krishna. And the calf rolls its eyes and dies. Hare Krishna. So now he's even more flabbergasted. So he runs back to his guru and explains. The guru says, don't worry about it. It's just part of the program. Now there's just one more part to this program. There's the king in the area. He's actually my disciple. He's your god brother. And he has just had a baby son. And he's been wanting to have a son for a long time. Finally, he's had a baby. So go to the palace. The king is there. He's very happy. And just tell him your Guru Maharaj has sent you with a blessing for the baby. And he says, fine. So he goes, and the king is there, and the king is giving out gifts to all the palace residents, celebrating the newborn child. The king is, as they say, over the moon. He's really happy. And so he says, oh, I've come on behalf of our Guru Maharaj. He wants to give a blessing to your newborn son. He heard your good fortune. Oh, Guru Maharaj wants to give a blessing. Yes, yes. He sent me to say something to the baby. Can I? Yeah, sure, go. He's there with the mother. So he goes in, and the mother is there, and the baby, he comes close to the baby and says, Hare Krishna. And the baby dies. When the word gets back to the king, what happened? I can't describe how the king was feeling, but he was a combination of shock, devastation, and supreme anger, all in one. And so he calls his guards, he says, take him out and don't kill him, give him a slow death. Torture him for days. So they're about to take him away, but all of a sudden, out of the body of the baby, comes this effulgent being, and he flies up into the air, and he's a beautiful, transcendental, spiritual effulgence is lighting up the whole room, and he's there with folded hands. He looks at the boy, and he says, thank you very much. I was forced to take three births in this world, one as a crane, another as a calf, and another as the baby for this king. Now I'm going back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. So he, the king's a little bit pacified. So he lets him go. He goes back to his spiritual master and tells what happened. The spiritual master says, you still want to give up your japa? No. So I'm sensing none of them. When we had the kirtan program in last June, Maharaj told that story. Because sometimes devotees, maybe they don't give it up, but they want to give it up. Because somehow or other it's just hackneyed, it's mechanical, it's no taste, it interferes with having fun. Sometimes we say life starts after the 16th round. So, but one has to understand that this chanting is life. It's actually the life itself. And so this little story kind of illustrates, it's a story, That's what it is. It's a story. To illustrate that, you know, we don't really know the power of the Holy Name. We can't ever estimate the power of the Holy Name. So therefore we have something very valuable, very extremely valuable, and therefore it's a great treasure. So before you can actually take advantage of something that is valuable, you have to a little bit know about the value of that. We can't really know the value. As it says in the Shastras, and the Shastras don't use hyperboles or eulogies in order to inspire people to do things. They tell the tale, they tell it as it is. The Shastras say once chanting the name of Krishna, once, just once, not the mantra, just one name, purely, one can free themselves from all sinful reactions committed for unlimited amounts of lifetimes that we've been in this material world. In other words, one can reach what we say, freedom from all material reactions, so all material activities for millions of lifetimes, just chanting the word Krishna once. So when Prabhupada was asked based on one verse, the verse was Sarusanga Sarusanga Sarva Sastri Hoy Lavamatta Sarusange Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That by one moment, Lavamatta means 1/11th of a second. So if you could divide a second into 11 parts, you get what is called a Lavamatta. 1/11th of a second association with a pure person, pure devotee, can free one from all sinful reactions. It's just as powerful as the holy name. So the question came to Prabhupada, we've had much of your association, but we can see we are not on that platform, we're not free. Prabhupada says, he answered in a very analogous way. He said, when the wood is wet, it doesn't ignite. When the wood is wet, it doesn't ignite. But when the wood becomes fully dried out, then immediately in contact with fire, it ignites. So what are you saying? That you continue to that association, and at one point, then that principle of purification will manifest. So that's same with the holy name. We have to continue to chant. Continue to chant, and gradually purify our chanting according to the rules and regulations of chanting. And gradually, if we stay with the chanting, and in the association of other devotees who also are serious in the practice of chanting, we will eventually reach perfection. One of the principles of Krishna consciousness is patience. We should never be in a hurry, because it works according to Krishna's timetable. And we want love of God fast. We want ecstasy immediately. We want whatever benefits the Shastras offer to us by describing what is the goal, but we have to be patient, because that patience is also a principle of bhakti, in that it allows Krishna his own timetable. It's not we put ourselves in the position of demanding by being impatient. So how do you develop patience? This is a very lofty quality. Patience comes in association with devotees. Patience comes by cultivating transcendental knowledge. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in relationship to Rupa Goswami's statement about Utsaham Nishchaya Darya. Darya means patient. That he explains that by cultivating transcendental knowledge, one is fixed in the philosophy, and then one very easily can execute the devotional service with patience. If we don't know the philosophy, we'll sometime become very impatient and expect things to happen. So then, that's not the goal of knowing the philosophy, but it's a principle of knowing the philosophy that patience develops. Okay, I'm not going to take a lot of time today because it's. Any questions or comments? Okay. Yes, Janakina.
The two questions, Maharaj. The story that Satchinanda Maharaj mentioned about the chanting of Hare Krishna and the crane taking a birth as a calf and then the child. I suppose that's just a story. I was just thinking...
It is a story, but it has a point. You know?
Okay, right. Because I was just thinking like that disciple must have had so much potency that just chanting that one mantra delivered the soul.
Well, that was there, but he was following the instructions of a spiritual master. That's where he got the potency from.
Okay, sure. Maharaj, just one thing about these patients. Very interesting. You said association of devotees and cultivation of transcendental knowledge.
Yeah.
What do you exactly mean by association of devotees? Like, just
because,
hang out with
because
them?
Because in association of devotees, we become happy.
And then the
That way we don't become, if you're experiencing happiness, you don't become impatient because you're happy. So if you're not getting happiness in association of devotees, that means you're not associating properly. There's a way to associate.
And association means Krishna Katha, I guess.
It means in the attitude of service. If you're in the attitude of enjoyment, you will not be able to associate properly. If you're in a mood of service, you will. Then the enjoyment comes. A friendship and in the mood of service. Developing friendship, developing relationships based on that friendship and especially based on service like that.
Question, what about impatient in service?
Impatient in service, what do you mean?
Like, you've got to do things, but maybe the devotees you're working with, they're not moving on and you're getting impatient because the task...
Oh, you're in a position of helping others.
Yeah.
Well, you have to use your... Okay, what is that verse? Who has the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Is there one here? In English? I want to read the verses because it really... Maybe if we can read it from somebody's Veda base. Fifth canto? No. It's always good to have a complete set of Bhagavatams in the temple.
Yes.
Got it? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If one is serious about going back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sunum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his son, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I advise. So Rishabhdev is saying, without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow. So one should never become angry. This is a verse. Let's see. That is 5:15. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if the disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Okay. There's more to the translation, but it's not relevant to the point. So, yeah, that one helps me a lot. It wasn't for that one, I'd probably, like they say, I'll be out of here. So we have to be patient. And I'm sure Prabhupada has been patient with me, so we have to be patient with each other. And trying guiding, instructing others, and like that. But disciples shouldn't take advantage of that verse, though. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, to become Krishna consciousness is not so easy, and it's a process. So, therefore, one has to use different methods by which they can they should use different methods to somehow or other bring a person from where they are to the next step. If one way doesn't work, then you can try another way.
Can I
mean, yesterday I had to give the Gayatri Mantra. And so when I give the Gayatri Mantra, it's not so easy. People can really understand how to, my instructions, they have to be, I had to go back over and 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 over. So I was getting a little, okay, she can't get it. All right, I'll keep trying. But then I remembered the verse. Patience. But then again, you have to see how communication is accessed. Sometimes, yeah. Here, communication is actually an art. How to bring communication to another person in such a way that they hear exactly what you intend them to understand from what you say. So that's also part of the process of mentoring others, learning, trying to acquiesce or access, that's a better word, access different forms of communication. If you have a form of communication that you use for everybody, it won't work. You have to see the person and then see how best, try your best to communicate what you want to communicate.
Oh, Marge, just one more question. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Marge, I want to know, what is the difference, or where do you draw the line being patient and being, or procrastinating, or being inactive, or not proactive?
You have to maintain enthusiasm. Utsaha ischaya daryat. Those three go together. They're not like independent. When you're enthusiastic, you have to be determined, and you also have to be patient. If you're trying to be patient and without enthusiasm, then you'll just sleep. If you're trying to be enthusiastic without patience, you'll give up. So all those three, that's why those three are given, and they're given in a certain sequence. That enthusiasm is there, which is the motivating force. But then again, determination is the thing that keeps us motivated through the various obstacles that we have to encounter. And then even though we go through the obstacles, we have to be patient for the results.
Thank you, Maharaj. That makes sense.
Yeah. That's Rupa Goswami. Anything else? Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. The crane and becoming calf and becoming baby really reminds me, like, when this chanting, when we see the all the options, how we don't chant properly, and mentality like, oh, it's my duty, but not like, what is the purpose behind so many lifetimes, so many species of life we go through, the soul go through, and what's the point actually? Why we are doing this, actually. And this story, which Satchinandana Maharaj tell, it's so important to repeat, actually, that we actually understand the power of the holy name. That we really should pray for properly praying to Krishna, to reveal Himself to us properly. I mean,
yeah, that prayer is also an indication of you want it. Okay, good. Thank you. Nice point. Very nice point. Okay, we can end here. I don't really want to take up too much time. It's already after 9. Okay, so Janaki Nath will give class tonight at 7 o'clock. didn't I tell you that already? I didn't. Okay. I'm sorry. So then you'll come tonight and get a real good class. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.